In her latest cookbook, Nigella Lawson explores the food and festivities that bring friends and family together. The book is called Feast, Food to Celebrate Life. Springtime feasts are among Lawson's favorites. It's a time of year, she says, that awakens the senses and sparks a sense of culinary adventure.
I think you do suddenly feel like the beginning of green shoots again. It does feel like the reaffirmation of life and nature. And I think it's impossible not to be touched by that. And if you're someone who likes eating, it's impossible not to exploit that in the kitchen.
Well, as you look forward to Easter and Passover, how is that reflected at the table?
Well, I think the most important thing about both Easter and Passover is that it's ritualized eating. And I think that these are religious occasions that find their expression through food.
Well, let's talk about a couple of possible menus. And since Easter falls first on the calendar, let's begin there. You have several recipes for lamb in your book that you recommend, but we're going to focus on one, the saffron roast lamb.
I'm very pleased. That's one of my favourites, and I've already got my lamb ordered and ready for this Easter. Now, in a way, it's a strange thing to do to put saffron in lamb, and there's not a lot on it, but what I wanted to feel, which is that all feasts are about breaking a fast originally, and it's a very important and long fast, the Lenten fast, and saffron is, if you like, the ultimate costly feast ingredient. So I thought that would kind of add something that feels important in a ritualistic way. But also it's a fairly, I don't know how to say this, it's a fairly plain recipe. You marinate a leg of lamb, with some olive oil and some garlic, scallions and bay leaves and lemon juice and some mint. Now, I know that the English are often derided for liking mint with lamb, but I refuse to be moved on this particular point, and I think it really works.
But you use fresh mint, not mint jelly.
No, but I do like mint jelly to eat with it as well, and I think that, one can only take so much bullying. Now, I think marinating meat makes a huge difference to the tenderness it has, and it also means you feel when you're trying to cook something special, you've done something. It's underway. All you need to do now, really, is put this in the oven.
You recommend serving this with something you call sticky garlic potatoes.
Yes.
Your take on Italian roast potatoes.
Well, it is my take on Italian roast potatoes, but it tastes so sweet with all the garlic that it's almost like dessert. You could add a bit of custard and you could almost convince yourself. And what I get, those new potatoes which are almost like pebbles.
Oh, little teeny ones.
Yes. I mean, that doesn't matter what size they are, but I like those ones because their flesh is so kind of waxy and sweet. And I cook them for about 30 minutes, because actually new potatoes take much longer to cook than you think. And then I drain them, put them back into the dry pan, but it's still hot, and with some peeled, about 8 cloves of garlic, but obviously
you know to your more if you
matter.
Like.
You do more if you like, and I then, having put the potatoes and garlic cloves in the pan, I get a wooden rolling pin and I kind of bash them.
So in the pan?
Is squished in the pan.
Oh, okay.
Because what this is, it's hard to say, this is like a cross between mashed potatoes and roast potatoes. More roast than mashed. So it is like a curious amalgam of a dish, but very nice. And it just feels more spring-like than getting the large potatoes and peeling them and roasting them, though I don't think anyone in this world would ever complain about a regular roast potato.
Now, how would you finish this? What kind of garnish would you put on this at the serving table?
Well, I think you definitely need a lot of greenery at Easter, because it is, you do need to celebrate that the best way you can. This year, because of Easter falling a bit early, maybe some spring greens just cooked gently and turned in a little butter. If the weather perks up, I'd say forget the spring greens and have a salad. I would be careful to say, don't give yourself too many things when you've got everything coming out of the oven and too many vegetable dishes that need to be dealt with at the last minute. I don't think that's a good way of celebrating with food. I think then it just feels a bit like an anxiety-provoking situation.
Why don't we move on to Passover now?
Yes.
And a Passover menu that you recommend actually would include what you call a special chicken soup, Egyptian Jewish soup, and you use for this only chicken wings.
I now have completely changed the way I cook chicken soup, and I only ever make it just with chicken wings. It is so much less expensive, and there's so much flavour in the bones and the wings that you get a much more flavoursome soup. you're using up something that is economical. I think that is proper, and that is what cooking at home is about.
Now, this is a soup that also includes meatballs.
Yes, that's what makes it special, really. And I do think that I'm not going to pretend to people that it doesn't take time to make a meatball, but it's not difficult, and I love it. I think something like a Seder night dinner, it's very nice to have friends with you helping prepare, and you can talk to, and really all you're doing is, you know, getting two chicken breasts and putting them in a processor with some scallions and some parsley leaves and some dried mint. I put the zest of a lemon. I use some ground almonds. You know, normally you would use bread in meatballs to kind of help bulk up. You can't now. I use ground almonds. But I get a mozza sheet and I soak it in a cup of water and then I squeeze it out and then I mix that in with my ground meat and adding a garlic and some pepper and an egg. And then I make little meatballs, and I don't know what the mozza does like that, but it somehow seems to give a kind of very unstarchy filling quality to the meatballs that you just don't get from bread or breadcrumbs, and I'm thrilled with this. I mean, I only tried it because I had to, because I knew I couldn't use bread.
Nigella, both of us have been paging through this book as we've been talking, and the pictures are just luscious in here, and there are also quite a few pictures of you, and I just wondered something, because I love to cook, and I spend a lot of time in the kitchen, and it's not always a glorious pursuit, but as I look at the pictures here and others in your other books, I wonder, does she really cook in Kashmir?
Well, I do, but what's quite interesting, I think, about the pictures in this book is that I did all this book at home. So it's in my kitchen or in my house. You know, obviously sometimes we had to move out of the kitchen because I was causing a bit of a blockage. I think it gives it a homey feel, but the pictures of me, you'll notice there's a distinction. Some of them are proper set-up ones where my hair is brushed, and some of them you can see are taken with quite a small camera. I mean, you can't see it's a small camera unless you're very clever, I suppose. What I mean is they're snaps, and my part isn't straight. I'm not all done up in hair and makeup, but they just look like pictures of someone in a kitchen. And sometimes I've got cashmere and sometimes I've got a T-shirt. But certainly the ones which just snapped of me, you know, icing a cake, those are just kind of candid snaps.
Well, it's clear that delicious food comes out of that kitchen. Thanks so much for talking to us. This has been fun.
Thank you.
Nigella Lawson is the author of Feast, Food to Celebrate Life. Her recipes for these spring holiday dishes, as well as Easter egg nest cake and hot cross buns, are at our website, npr.org.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.